Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Those words remind us that the cross is the sign of the commitment that God made to us in Christ. The cross, St. Paul tells us in this verse, the cross is the power of God for those who are being saved. It's the revelation of the cross as God's source of salvation that we commit to as Christians. Think about that. What a thing that is. This cross, which served as a device of torture, is a symbol of defeat and death to those living in this world. But the cross is for us the power of God. Think about that. The power of God. Only those who vanquish others have the power to use a cross against the defeated. So to this world, the cross is a symbol that those who are put on it have been conquered. And yet, that same cross for the Christian reveals the victory of God for our salvation. This cross reveals to us that Christ held back nothing. He was not restrained in his commitment to the plan of salvation for this world. From the Old Testament lesson today, listen. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. The plan of God is to shatter the yoke of sin and to remove the rod of the oppressor, Satan. That is what the cross has done. That plan has been carried out. The plan of God to bring salvation to the whole world, that plan was laid out before the world began. But it had to be, think about this, it had to be properly executed for it to be fully realized. Now in today's gospel lesson, the plan included the calling of the disciples, the healing of sickness and disease, and, like we talked about in Sunday school, the preaching of the good news of the kingdom of God. I didn't plan that, by the way. It just worked out. God's plan was, and still is, that all his creation worship Jesus. He came to fulfill God's plan of salvation by allowing himself to be defeated on the cross and to die the only innocent death, but then to rise victorious to a new life. And in that victory, again, from the Old Testament lesson, Jesus is the one who rejoices as the people do at the harvest. Only in that way could we see that God's passion for us knows no limits, no constraints whatsoever. In our sin, in our rebellion, we put crushing limits, not only on ourselves, but in sin we also put crushing limits on all of creation. God's plan has always been to free us from that, to shatter the yoke that burdened us. And the only thing that could reveal that to us would be his commitment that shows his victory over sin over death and the devil. Only God can break the limits that we put on ourselves in sin. Only God can do that. Sin's power must be destroyed if those limits are to be broken for us. And the commitment of God to breaking us free rests in the cross alone. Now that, which was a defeat in the eyes of this world, that is victory for us over sin. For those of us who are under sin, it is that victory. Many years ago, the bishop of the Catholic Church of the Philippines had to check out a young woman's claim that she had seen Jesus in visions. The bishop told her this: "The next time you see Jesus, ask him what sin your bishop committed when he was a young theologian." The next time that he saw the young woman, the bishop asked her, "Did you ask Jesus about the sin I committed when I was a young man?" She answered, "Yes, I did." Jesus said he didn't remember. Now, whether the details of that story are true or not, the truth of this story is huge good news for us. Such is Christ's commitment to us that he forgets our sin. Only he can do that. We're told that in Isaiah in chapter 43 and Jeremiah 31. Only God can choose to forget sins, and only the blood of Jesus Christ from the cross makes that choice possible. And it's only the commitment of Christ to go to the cross to shed his blood there that frees us from our guilt in God's sight. When Cortez landed his 500 men on the east coast of Mexico, we all know, or most of us have heard, that he set fire to the ships that had brought those men. His warriors, watching their means of returning home go up in flames, knew that they were committing their whole life to the cause of conquering a new world for Spain. So also with you and I. When our Lord Jesus Christ says to the disciples and to you and I, when he says, "Come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." When the call of the Spirit sets our feet on the shores of commitment to the cross of Christ, our ships are also burned. We are set free from all the worldly loves and loyalties that might come between us and Christ and between us and one another. Now, the commitment made in our baptisms, that commitment was first God to us. God to us, to redeem us, to rescue us, to buy us back. After that, we've then committed ourselves into the truth of God's word and to the plan of what God has done for each individual one of us. He has removed our sin from us. We are dead to them, and they are his responsibility now. And as we said, he alone can forget sin. And for the sake of the blood of Jesus Christ, he does just that. We have relief in that. But for that relief to be experienced, we must trust what God has said he has done. Now, I sometimes think, that since we cannot forget our sin, that God cannot either. After all, he's God. What we really forget in all of this is that we are not God. He has said what he has promised to do. And we tend to reduce him to our level and say, oh no, surely he can't do that. But he can, and he does. And we now live and trust and commit to put our whole being into that truth by following our leader, Jesus Christ. The plan of following Christ is that we follow, we don't lead, we don't walk our own way, we don't indulge our own sinfulness. If we do that, we deny the cross and its power to free us. When Jesus asked the men to follow him today, that is what he was asking for, a commitment. A commitment of their life to his life. This was not simply asking them to go for a walk along the beach. They knew that. They understood that. They were being asked to follow the way of Jesus. That meant then, and still means today, to follow in the way of the cross. Now, Jesus knew what he was asking of them, even if they didn't fully understand it at the moment. We, however, have an advantage in that we know in our commitment to following Christ, we commit to the cross of Christ. And that cross ties us to God's prior commitment. It's his commitment that comes first. And we see that in both the cross and the resurrection of Jesus as well. Think about it. God's commitment to us, to raise us from the dead as he raised Christ, is his promise. We place our whole life in God's hands. We trust him to keep his promise of salvation that was made even in the Old Testament lesson today. Listen again, verse 2. The people walking in darkness, us, have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. That is God's commitment to us. We are called to die to ourselves and then to live in the light of the gospel alone. We too are called. We are, each one of us, called to be committed to the way of cross, to the way of Christ, to the way of the cross. That brings us back again to the verse from Corinthians today. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The cross of Christ's death is what we live by. And that is foolishness to this world. Our ships have been burned, and there is no going back. So we go forward. We go forward together, caring for one another, knowing that in the power of Christ's cross, God has washed away our sins, and he forgets them all. We go forward together, what? Hearing, sharing, and living the gospel. And we do so in Jesus' name. In his name we pray, amen. May the word